Well, if you would turn to Judges chapter 6, please, we'll read that passage together. Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and for 7 years he gave them into the hands of the Midianites. Because the power of Midian was so oppressive, the Israelites prepared shelters for themselves in mountain clefts, caves, and strongholds. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, the Midianites, Amalekites, and other eastern peoples invaded the country. They camped on the land and ruined the crops all the way to Gaza and did not spare a living thing for Israel, neither sheep, nor cattle, nor donkeys. They came up with their livestock and their tents like swarms of locusts. It was impossible to count the men and their camels. They invaded the land to ravage it. Midian so impoverished the Israelites that they cried out to the Lord for help. When the Israelites cried to the Lord because of Midian, he sent them a prophet who said, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I brought you up out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. I snatched you from the power of Egypt and from the hand of all your oppressors. I drove them from before you and gave you their land. I said to you, 'I am the Lord your God. Do not worship the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live.' But you have not listened to me." The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." "But sir," Gideon replied, "if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our fathers told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us into the hand of Midian." The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" "But Lord," Gideon asked, "how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." The Lord answered, "I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites together." Gideon replied, "If now I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that it is really you talking to me. Please do not go away until I come back and bring my offering and set it before you." And the Lord said, "I will wait until your return." Gideon went in and prepared a young goat, and from an ephah of flour he made bread without yeast, putting the meat in a basket and its broth in a pot. He brought them out and offered them to him under the oak. The angel of God said to him, "Take the meat and the unleavened bread, place them on this rock, and pour out the broth." And Gideon did so. With the tip of the staff that was in his hand, the angel of the Lord touched the meat and the unleavened bread. Fire flared from the rock, consuming the meat and the bread, and the angel of the Lord disappeared. When Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he exclaimed, "Ah, sovereign Lord, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." But the Lord said to him, "Peace, do not be afraid, you are not going to die." So Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and called it, "The Lord is Peace." To this day it stands in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. That same night the Lord said to him, "Take the second bull from your father's herd, the one 7 years old. Tear down your father's altar to Baal and cut down the Asherah pole beside it. Then build a proper kind of altar to the Lord your God on the top of this height. Using the wood of the Asherah pole that you cut down, offer the second bull as a burnt offering." So Gideon took 10 of his servants and did as the Lord told him. But because he was afraid of his family and the men of the town, he did it at night rather than in the daytime. In the morning, when the men of the town got up, there was Baal's altar demolished, with the Asherah pole beside it cut down, and the second bull sacrificed on the newly built altar. They asked each other, "Who did this?" When they carefully investigated, they were told, "Gideon, son of Joash, did it." Then the men of the town demanded of Joash, "Bring out your son, he must die, because he has broken down Baal's altar and cut down the Asherah pole beside it. But Joash replied to the hostile crowd around him, "Are you going to plead Baal's cause? Are you trying to save him? Whoever fights for him shall be put to death by morning. If Baal really is a god, he can defend himself when someone breaks down his altar." So that day they called Gideon, Jerubbaal, saying, "Let Baal contend with him, because he broke down Baal's altar." Amen. And we'll leave the reading there at the end of verse 32. And we pray that God will bless his reading to us. Well, just following on this evening from our passage in Judges, Gideon is a real character, isn't he? I wonder if you can remember back and reflect back to the days that you were at Sunday school. And I know the young ones will not be hard for them, but maybe for the older folks here, thinking back to Sunday school, what's the stories you remember learning? Well, I know if it's like me, you remember learning David and Goliath, Daniel in the lion's den, Moses leading the children of Israel out of Egypt. And those, they really stick out, don't they? And they stay with you. And I think one of the reasons is that these are examples of people in God's word who actively declared, "God, I trust you." And they declared that to overcome personal circumstances or unknown future worries that they had in their lives. And this evening I want us to look at Gideon, who is another example of moving from fear and a lack of confidence to faith. And he's a real example of a work in progress, isn't he, for the Lord. He's not an Abraham, he's not a David or a Paul, he's one of those quieter heroes of the faith. And he's not very impressive at the first look when you start to read the passage. But he makes some real choices of faith for God. And so significant are they that this very ordinary man, he is actually listed in Hebrews 11 with some of the big names in the Old Testament as one of the heroes of the faith. Gideon has some lessons for us to learn, and I just want us to look at those this evening. Well, just for a wee bit of background, Gideon, he was the fifth judge listed in the book of Judges. And in verses 1 to 5 of our passage, we see that the Israelites had turned from the Lord. They turned away and turned away from his protection, only to find themselves confronted by the Midianites, who were far greater and stronger than they were. The Midianites were desert people, and they descended from Abraham's second wife, who was called Keturah. And you can read about her in Genesis 25 in those first few verses. From this relationship with Abraham and Keturah came a nation that was always in conflict with Israel. And here they've been terrorizing them again. And they've been doing it for years. And so much so that the Israelites had actually retreated into caves and gated communities and really isolated areas to try and get away from the Midianites. Israel, you see, they kept falling into this cycle, didn't they? Of sinning through idolatry, facing oppression by their enemies. Then they would cry out to God, and then they would be rescued by a raised up judge. And this time, that raised up judge was called Gideon. And we see in verse 6 that the Israelites had cried out to the Lord for help. But do you ever wonder, why did they wait so long? Why did they wait so long to cry out to the Lord? Why did they have to hit rock bottom, you know, before turning back to God again? How much suffering could they have avoided if they had trusted him? You know, turning to God shouldn't be our last resort. It shouldn't be the thing that we go to when everything else fails. Psalm 118, verse 8 and 9 says, "It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in humans. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes." We should look to him for help each day. That isn't to say that life will be easy. Most certainly it's not. and there will be struggles, but God will give us the strength to live through them. Don't wait until you're at the end of your tether. Let's call on God first in every situation. But his name and his character, what was Gideon's character like? We first hear of Gideon, it's actually not to verse 11 in the chapter. And what's he doing? He's threshing wheat in a wine press. The fact he was threshing in a wine press, well, that's very significant. Threshing was normally done on a hilltop where the wind could blow the chaff away from the wheat. But a wine press, by contrast, this was small and it was enclosed. And Gideon, he was hiding away indoors from the Midianites who were stealing whatever they saw, stealing their food, as we read, and, you know, just ravaging everything that was in front that belonged to the Israelites. So Gideon was hiding somewhere where he thought he wouldn't be found. And at the point when the angel speaks to Gideon in verse 12, Gideon, he was a bit like a cornered animal. There was probably years of repressed anger built up within him. You know, Gideon's name means mighty warrior. But Gideon had probably never felt like a mighty warrior because they had been driven so far back by the relentless pursuit of the Midianites. He'd probably seen himself more so than a wimp than a warrior. But in verse 13, Gideon replies defensively to the angel, "If the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Now he has abandoned us and he has handed us into the hands of Midian." But the angel's words, they were reassuring. You know, they were reassuring that God was with him, God was sending him, and that God would go before him. We see Gideon grew. He grew from a very low point in his life. He was defensive. He was lacking in self-esteem, but he recognized God's call on his life, and he would eventually break out of this defensive mentality that he had and overcome the barriers that faced him by leading a small 300-man army to victory over the Midianites in chapter 7. And also, he would go and tear down, as we read, the altar of Baal at the end of chapter 6, showing his faith, his bravery over weakness. I'm not sure what your situation is today, but God knows. The decisions you're having to make, the problems you're having to face this week, or as to where you stand with God, he knows. But if you're walking with God today, and he's your Savior, then like Gideon, God wants you to know that he is with you. And he will go with you. We know that verse, don't we? So many of us have it as a favorite. Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you." God called Gideon by name. Not only by his given name, but by the name he would become. And that was Mighty Warrior. See, God has great interest not just in who we are now, but also in who we will become by his Spirit. Gideon, he was called to deliver his nation from the Midianites. But I wonder, what has God called you to? What has he called me to? And are you willing to step out in faith for him and do that? There's so many things that he could call us to do. Maybe it's speak to a work colleague. Maybe it's be kind to someone who's in need. Maybe it's just to live your life in front of others. Teach your children the ways of God. All these things can be fearful. Gideon made excuses, saying all he seen was his limitations and his weaknesses. And he failed to see how God could work through him. You know, like Gideon, we are called to serve God in specific ways. And although God promises us the tools and the strength we need, we often make excuses, don't we? But reminding God of our limitations, that only implies that he does not know all about us and that he's made a mistake in evaluating our character. Let's not spend time making excuses. Instead, let's spend time doing what God wants and getting prepared to do what he wants by spending time with him. Even today, the Lord addresses you and me as saints. Even though we're often fearful and faithless, God is confident in us because he has already been implanted within us, as it says in 2 Peter 13, where it says, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. The Lord wants you to believe what he says about you. Can you grasp that? If you're a Christian here today, God's divine power is within you, whatever you face. But we've seen a little bit about his character and how he would step out for the Lord from that defensive and weak mindset. But let's look at the source of his confidence. You know, as well as Gideon's name and character, we can see his confidence comes from the Lord. You know, in verse 15, you'll see that Gideon still protested. He protested, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. But in verse 16, we see the words of the Lord saying, I will be with you. And in that short exchange, Gideon realized that the Lord knew him and would be with him and that he was loved. You know, it's a great comfort to be recognized for who we are, but that the Lord will be with us and that he will help us. It can give real confidence and shows the true love that Jesus has for each one of us. In looking at the story of Gideon, it made me think about the source of our confidence as Christians and who we are as Christians and what our callings are. You know, that might be to speak to a neighbor, to start a course, to be kind to someone in need, to build a new church. There's so much that we could be asked to do by the Lord. You see, we'll never be able to complete that calling unless we ourselves know who we are in Christ and we are connected to God. Gideon had so withdrawn from the life around him. He had withdrawn away that he had forgotten who he was. He had forgotten his true identity in the Lord. And he needed to be awakened to his true worth. When God calls us to do something, the first task of the Holy Spirit is to prepare us to receive his promises. Often we're so weighed down that we struggle to receive from him. The daily grind can weigh us down when we're not spending time getting to know our Savior. The one who died for us and wants to lift our burdens and put us under his wing. You know, busyness, it really can be the enemy of our soul. And it was from Gideon's moment of connection that he grew into his calling, when he realized that he was loved and that God recognized him and called him in verse 16. From then on, he started to move into God's will for his life. For when we become secure in our own identities, that identity that we have in the Lord, we become less threatened, less defensive, and more open to being the people that God has called us to be. It is then that we find that inner freedom that gives us the confidence and the boldness to take risks and step out for the Lord Jesus Christ and to make courageous choices. This is the great work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, where we can see those internal borders being broken. And that's what was happening with Gideon. The Lord had met with him and spoken to him, and he had tried to come back with excuses But then he realized, the Lord is with me. I can do this. Philippians 1 verse 6 says, "And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on that day when Jesus Christ returns." Philippians 4 and 13 says, "I can do all this through him who gives me strength." You see, the Lord knows we're a work in progress, just like Gideon. So let's get connected to God, be secure in our identities in him, and let him be our confidence. So we've seen his character, how he got his confidence. But what was his commission? His commission was to go in the strength you have. The angel of the Lord's commission to Gideon was in verse 14, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand." And I think that's a really crucial phrase. The strength you have. The angel was telling Gideon that what he had was enough. And the Spirit of God says that to us today. Whatever you're called to do, the Holy Spirit can take what little we have and use it for his purpose. You know, he will show us where we are called if only we let him. 2 Corinthians 12 verse 9 says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." You know, compared to the Lord, none of us stack up, and we are all coming from a position of weakness. But the Lord says that his power is made perfect in weakness. And we have a great example of that, don't we, in the Lord, where it says in Romans 3, verse 23, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." You see, we fall short, and there's nothing we can do to earn God's love and his favor. But God steps into the picture, and in his power we have Romans 5, verse 8, where it says, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we are still sinners, Christ died for us." It's not about anything we can do. It's all because Jesus died for us. But we just have to believe that and put our faith and trust in him, in that finished work on the cross, and ask Jesus to forgive us for our sins. You know, another thing that Gideon realized from his encounter with the Lord was a call to holiness. He had to clear out that stuff that was displeasing to God, and it started at home. And as we see in verse 25 to 27, Gideon went on the Lord's command to cut down the idols at his father's house. And he had to start at home. And before any of our callings can be pursued, our first acts will always be to get rid of the idols in our lives. Maybe the greed, the money, the selfishness, these things that have gone unchallenged in our lives, these things that are number one, these things which are constantly on our mind. You know, private faithfulness is a prerequisite to public usefulness. If you want to learn how to trust God, you must first set your own house in order. Before God can use you mightily, he must be magnified in your own life, in your own home. There are no shortcuts. So what is it that we've been holding on to? Is there any sin that we're clinging to? Do we need to knock down those idols in our own lives? Confess our sin, deal with it, and return to full obedience to God. You know, if you recall at the start of the chapter, Gideon was at work. He was minding his own business. He was afraid and he was alone. And the Lord called out to him, and it's worth remembering that God speaks to us in every situation, whether it be at work or at home or at church, playing sport, the Lord can speak. And as a Christian here today, if you are, you're a work in progress for the Lord. And God loves you just as you are, but he refuses to leave you that way. You know, if you're going to grow in your walk with Christ, you must be willing to allow God to change us bit by bit so that we can be more and more like Jesus. In doing that, we have to move from fear to faith. The wonderful thing about God is even though we're slow at returning to him, he is never slow in responding to us. You know, verses 7 and 8, we said at the outset, why did the Israelites wait so long to come to the Lord? They were slow in returning to him. But the Lord is never slow in responding to us when we come to him. And verse 7 and 8 shows us that he moves in mercy and love towards us. Gideon is a man who doubts God's promises and questions his work. You know, you could say Gideon's a lot like you and me. Although Gideon eventually becomes a great hero in the faith, he is also filled and was filled with fear as we can be early on in his life. In fact, you know, he's one of the most fearful and doubtful individuals in the Bible. No biblical character requires and receives more assurance than Gideon as you read through those chapters. Yet at a specific point in Gideon's life, he becomes the man God wants him to be. You know, God wants you and me to be faith-filled believers who overcome our doubts and obediently trust him. We can do that by believing in God's promises, getting connected to him, and moving from fear to faith. Amen. And I trust that has been a blessing to us, the real example that Gideon is and can be as we walk the Christian life together. Let's take time now to sing.